I keep coming back to this thing called rest. God keeps speaking to me about rest. How vitally important it is for all of us as we go forward, learn how to abide in rest. Because it will save you. It'll protect you from what the enemy would try to use against you to destroy you and bring you down and discourage you, to defeat you. When we're in a place called rest in Him, it's a place where the enemy cannot molest. Sin cannot molest. It's a place of security. And Psalms 91 talks about that. That he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow, amen, of the Almighty. So I want to talk about this place called rest. And it is something that we need to learn how to get into if we're not in it. If we don't know how to get there, how to get into a place of rest. Otherwise, we will be stressed out. We will be miserable in our walk. Often we'll end up even declaring things out of our mouth. Because when you're operating in a place of stress, usually the next thing is you start to declare things you shouldn't, say things you shouldn't. And it's a chain reaction. And I use this illustration because it's simple, and I'm a simple guy. But, you know, when you're working on your automobile, and some of you guys know what it's like to be working on something, and sometimes it can get frustrating because you're not able to get that nut off or whatever, or you're trying to reach into a really bad, hard place to get at something, and maybe your wrench slips off and you crack your knuckles, and then the next thing you start to get a little bit like uptight,
yeah,
maybe a little stressed out,
yeah.
And then if we're not careful, we'll begin to complain in that place of stress. And the more that you bellyache about it, the worse it gets. It begins to magnify until you're just full-blown lost your victory, right?
Yes.
Now, that maybe you ladies don't know what it's like to work on a car, but maybe you've been in some frustrating situations. Some of you do, I know. Whatever it might be that you do, right? But I also know that those difficulties along the way are there to condition us. They're there to teach us how to find rest in God. So the Lord will allow it. Have you ever been there? Yes. These things are allowed by God to condition and prepare us for what He wants to use us for in the future. So if we don't go through anything, if we don't overcome anything, you can't get to the next place that God wants to bring you. Just ask Israel about that, right? And so instead of grumbling and complaining, we need to learn how to find rest. Now, I believe that the lesson that Israel was supposed to learn was before they could enter into the actual rest, they had to first have rest in their hearts. They needed to learn how to trust in God. And because they never learned that internal lesson first, it resulted in, of course, the outward, you know, complaining and grumbling and bellyache and accusations towards God and towards Moses. Because they did not have internal peace, there was chaos on the outside. And so God is trying to say to His church, it's the same thing for us, is if we're going to enter into His rest, it has to first begin in the heart. Amen?
Amen.
And because Israel didn't learn how to trust God and get into a place of confident rest, assurance that God was with them, God was definitely for them, no matter what it looked like, God had so many times demonstrated His greatness, amen, and his miracles to them. But then they came to a place where they're just like, you know, they so quickly forgot what God had done. And they were not qualified to enter into the promise because they did not learn the lesson in the wilderness. And in order for us to go forward in the Lord, we're going to have to overcome some things in the wilderness. Now we know that the Bible says that rest was spoken of by David, okay? And it was not the rest that... Remember when they went into Canaan, Joshua had to take them in, remember? And it was a time of war. Yes, it was the land of milk and honey, but they were going to face some giants in the land. And so this rest that God was really trying to draw attention to was not the natural place of blessing in the earth, but it was a place that they could be in Him, in is called the secret place. God wants His people to learn how to go into the secret place with Him and find an inner strength that will sustain you no matter what happens to you. If it means they've got a gun to your head that says deny Christ, you're going to know how to get into that place and draw from His eternal resources to be able to stand. If you do not stand on the inside, you won't stand on the outside. And if you don't learn to have rest in your spirit, if you don't learn to come into a place of contentment in the Lord, you're not going to have rest or contentment in your world. And the world's not going to see the evidence of the kingdom. So you see, God works from the inside out. Now the psalmist said in Psalms 55 and 6, he said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest." How many know that running away from your problems is never going to bring you into the rest of God? Now that was a nice thought, and I'm sure we've all said that. Man, I wish I could just check out. And some people try to do that. You know, just check out. Oh, that I had wings so I could just tune out and not have to face the problems. But when you came down from that, guess what? The problem was still there facing you. So running away from difficulties, running away from problems will never bring you into God's rest. Now let me say this too. Facing your problems will not bring you into God's rest either.
No.
I know some of you probably thought, yeah, we got to face, you got to confront your problems.
No,
you don't want to make your problem the focus. This is what the enemy does, is he wants you to focus on your problem. It's not the problem that's the problem, it's your perception of the problem that's the problem. And so when we have a problem, we've got to learn how to just go right into God and say, "Lord, Jesus, hallelujah, praise the Lord." Pray in tongues, whatever you get. But get into that place in the Spirit where there is rest. Because if you don't, you're going to start blowing it. You're going to start making mistakes. You're going to start getting presumptuous, or you're going to jump the gun, or you're going to make hasty decisions that you're going to later regret. Has anybody ever done that financially? Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And you're looking at the problem, and you're just trying in your own reason to figure it out. Oh boy, I've been there. And God is trying to teach me to hold, just slow down. Relax. Everything is going to be fine. And it will be, really, if we will just wait on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord. Okay, take a deep breath. Let it out. Worship. Worship. Don't shut everything else. Just worship. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Get into the secret place with God. Get into that place where there is a supernatural peace that doesn't make natural sense. Because how can I have such peace when my life, by all indications, or by all appearances, is a mess. You see, you're not going to find rest in God by running away from the problem or even trying to confront it. But you turn your back to the problem and you look at Jesus. And you call upon the name of the Lord and you wait on Him. I find that when I start to relax in Him, I start to worship and settle down in God, that all of a sudden I'm hearing His voice. Have you ever noticed that? But when you're in the panic of the moment, you're not hearing anything except help. And God doesn't want His people to be stressed. He wants us to learn how to find our rest in Him. You see, now it's interesting. The Lord will allow something that naturally will cause stress. I believe that. But the purpose for that is to teach us how to find rest.
Amen.
The reason why God is saying this to us is because things are not going to get easier. I don't care what the stock market says. It's all a delusion. People think, I mean, you know what it's like. One day the stock market's up, the next day it's down. When it's up, everybody's happy. When it's down, everybody's bummed.
Yeah.
Why? Because they're finding their peace in something that is really fleeting. As a matter of fact, there's really nothing even in the stock market except numbers in a computer. There's nothing there. You got to have something tangible to back it up. And guess what? There's a whole lot more paper out there than there is tangible assets.
Yeah.
That's why when the stock market crashes, everybody's like in a panic. Why? Everybody tries to cash in at the same time. Guess what? There's nothing there to cash in on.
Right.
So that's why we don't put our trust. That's why on the coin it says, "In God we trust."
Yeah.
When we are restless, it means that there's a lack of peace in our hearts. And we know that the rest that God gives is far beyond anything that this world can offer. Rest is a place in your heart where you meet with God. Rest is a secret place of His presence. In Psalms 91, we know, in the New Living Translation, it says it this way: those who live in the shelter of the Most High, it says, will find rest. So that word abide also means to rest in the shadow of the Almighty. It's as if, an eagle is brooding over her chicks, and we can just kind of like get under the shade of the wing and know we're being protected. Amen. God is looking on. I've shut myself in His presence. And His protection, His wings, they overshadow me. Amen? That's a safe place to be. And when you're in that place with God, how many know what I'm talking about? It's just, let the world go away. Get it off my shoulders. Right? The only way you're going to get it off your shoulders is to get under His shoulders. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And the thing about it is, folks, is for the longest time, I just thought, because when I came to the Lord, most of the time they were singing these old hymns and stuff, and I love those old hymns. And many of them are really awesome and they're powerful. And I mean, we sang that one Sunday and it was just like, wow.
Yeah.
Break Thou the Bread of Life. You know, I love some of those.
Yeah.
But some of them are not actually theologically accurate either. So you got to kind of sort through some of that.
Yeah.
And now we know that the perfect rest, okay, the completion, yeah, is when we're out of this body and present with the Lord. All right. But for so long, that has been the whole focus. It's just, get me out of here, God. I want to go to heaven and get out of the problem. And yet what God is trying to do, like He was trying to teach Israel. See, they didn't want to go through the process of being prepared for what He was going to bring them into. And sometimes we're the same way. We don't want to go through the process. We just want to get to where we want to be,
yeah,
without going through anything and being prepared for what He's got ahead.
That's right.
And so we've always thought, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. You know, well, in that sense, God is our haven of rest.
Yeah.
He's our rest. He's of our peace. Okay, but for so long, it was all about just going to heaven. I thought you had to basically go to heaven before you're really going to be able to rest. Now, some Christians are resting now in the sense that they've ceased to labor. They don't work. And they think that's, oh, I'm... I'm in rest. Yeah, you're in rest, all right. You're in disobedience, too. Now, we know that God has a different purpose for everybody in this life. But whatever we do in word or deed, we do all to the glory of God. Amen? Whether you're working on the job or whatever your assignment is, you do it unto God for His glory. Now, we don't have to wait. This is the awesome thing. To go to heaven. To experience the rest of God. And some of us here, you know what I'm saying? We're learning how to abide in that place.
Yeah.
And the way you learn to abide in that place is through difficulties. Do you know that every time you face something, you have a choice? You're either going to rest or you're going to stress.
Yeah.
It's your choice. And the choice is, I'm going to go to God, I'm going to worship, I'm going to go into that place with Him, or I'm just going to allow my circumstances to rob me of my victory. You see, you've already been given the victory. Jesus has already handed it out. He said, listen, I've already overcome the world. Be of good cheer now. Because in me, right, you're going to also be an overcomer. He says, in the world you'll have tribulation, you're going to have difficulties. But then He says, but be of good cheer.
Amen.
Why is that? Because He has made Himself available.
Right.
Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden.
Yes.
People are bound by religion. You know, so many people that are trying through religiosity to somehow perform and work and achieve something that God has already freely given. And as long as you're in that place of works mentality, you can't rest in God. Why? Because you're always going to fall short of your own expectations for yourself. Isn't it true? So often we're putting burdens on ourselves that God didn't put there. And the devil knows how to put burdens on people too, by the way. He will use guilt to get you, you know, doing all this stuff because if I don't do this, God's not going to like me. God's not going to accept me. Or what will others think if I don't do what they expect of me to do? Do you know that Jesus wasn't controlled by the opinions of others? He didn't do what others expected Him to do. That's why they didn't like Him. That's why they made all kinds of lies about Him, because he wasn't going to be controlled by them. Do you know we're supposed to live just like Jesus?
Yeah.
That does not mean that we are to be rude and inconsiderate and unloving and unkind. No. But it means that we just need to know who we are, know who God has called me to be, and to listen to what He's telling me to do. And if man doesn't like what God's told you to do, you still need to do what God tells you to do. If you want to walk and rest, it's going to be in a place called obedience. It's going to be a place called belief. I believe what the Lord says. Not always, but most of the time. You know, God's still working on me too. Sometimes I'm aware of some of the places in my life where, you know, it's kind of a stretch for me to believe. Is anybody like that here too? Maybe some of you have arrived, but
no.
But we're all in this process somewhere. And I find sometimes the Lord will present something to me and I'm like, oh God, that's pretty big. I don't know how you're going to do this. He says, well, if you believe me, I'll do it. But I'm not going to do it until you believe me to do it. Because you're insulting Him when you don't believe Him. How many know that all of God's promises are yea and amen?
Yes.
Not just some, but all.
Amen.
We limit God by our unbelief. Now, I'm getting to where we're going here. But we all know that Jesus came that we might have life. Jesus came to set us free from sin and guilt so we could be free to serve Him. Not to sin against Him, but to serve Him. And so if we fail in our quest And I'm going to say quest here for salvation rest. Because the writer of Hebrews, we're going to read it in just a minute, spoke about being diligent to enter into rest. Okay? And it's kind of like, when I read that, I was kind of like, that's kind of a funny way to say it. Why would you be diligent to enter into rest? How does that work? So hopefully we can get to that and maybe shed a little bit of light on that for some. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, here he was speaking about, again, the wanderings of Israel in the wilderness. And he was speaking to the church and reminding them of the lessons of history. And he said in verse 12 of chapter 3 of Hebrews, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today." Today is what we want to focus on. "Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." Notice he didn't say it has nothing to do with works. He's talking about confidence here. "While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey?" Now look at verse 18 again. It says, "Those who would not enter his rest were those who did not obey." And then in verse 19 he says, "So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." Do you see the connection between obedience and unbelief? Disobedience and unbelief are the same thing. We cannot say we're obedient to God and not believe Him. Because when all sin, if you think about it, is disobedience, but it's also unbelief. It comes out of, it's birthed out of unbelief. Did God really mean what he said, the serpent said? It was unbelief. He got them to doubt God's word. Gail, you gave an excellent message the other night on, does God keep his word? Absolutely, every time. But does God really mean what he said? So what he wants to do is create doubt in what God said. And so when we begin to doubt what God says, we're sinning. Are there any sinners in here tonight? Okay. We've all done that, haven't we? However, our identity in Christ is not that of a sinner. How many know that's true? We're new creations. We are dead to sin, but alive to God. Now, we're getting somewhere here. Now, when the children of Israel had reached the land of promise, what was the word from God? He said, "Go now and possess the land." And what did the people say? They said, "We can't." That's a simple version of it. But that's basically what they said. God said, "Go in and possess the land." But they said, "We can't do that, God." Now, if God tells you to go do something, he's not going to tell you to do something that he's not going to back up. But this is where we struggle, because God does tell us to do things, but because of our unbelief, we don't follow through. And so, because they did not believe the word of the Lord, they did not believe God's promise to them, they were not able to go in to receive the blessing that God had intended for them. Except for those who were, what, under age 20. And there was two that had a different spirit in them. Remember who that was? Joshua and Caleb. They came back and said, "We are well able to go into the land." Why? Because they had faith that what God promised, he was able to do. He said, if in another place, if God delights in us, he will bring us in. Now, who does God delight in? God delights in those who trust him. It's that simple. God delights in those who trust him. Whenever we're faced with trials and difficulties and things that don't seem to make sense, we're being tested as to whether we're going to believe God beyond what we see, beyond what we can touch or even feel sometimes. So that God wants to show you and I that whatever he promises, not just sometimes, but every time, whatever he promises, every time he will do. Now, sometimes your miracle is delayed. God will still come through, but not until you learn the lesson. Okay, I'm done fretting. I'm done complaining. Now I'm going to start, okay, believing God. I'm going to give it into his hands. Instead, I'm going to worship him. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to get into this place called rest. And when you learn how to get into rest and to relax and say, okay, God, I can't carry it anymore. It's just making me upset. It's taking my joy away. I'm just going to get into a place called rest now.
Yes.
And once you get into the place of God, rest, God says, well done.
Amen.
Now you're in a place where you can let me do it. You see, rest is when God takes over. Isn't it true? We all have an anointing. If we're born again, we're spirit-filled people, we have an anointing. And we can do certain things just by faith and because of the anointing in our lives. But rest, when we come into rest and we get into that glory realm, that's when God begins to do it sovereignly. Have we not experienced some of that here to some measure? Where we're just worshiping and God just shows up and heals people and nobody had any of their own anointing in it. It was just the glory of God. It was out of a place of rest. See, the Lord is allowing us to sample and to taste and to see how good he is. And the good news is this, is that you can drive down the road and be in his rest. You can be at work and be in the rest of God. You can be at home. You can be in Walmart and have the rest of God. Why? You don't have to wait to get to church because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit of God is in you and you have resources of heaven available to you. What God is trying to get us to do is to get away from trying to work everything out in our own wisdom and our own strength and our own ability so that he can do immeasurably above and beyond what we could ever do. See, God wants you to be supernatural. He doesn't want us just to operate in the natural. In the natural, it's I figure it out. I do this, and then, are you with me?
Yeah.
But God wants us to be supernatural. He wants us to get into rest and to wait on him. Yeah, often he'll give us an assignment. But when you hear the word, then you believe. You mix it with faith, and you do what he says because faith has action.
Amen.
Once we take the step, then God intervenes. And there's a chain reaction. That's what Paul was saying here in chapter 4 of Hebrews in verse 2. He said, for indeed the gospel was preached to us, to the New Testament church, as well as to them, Israel. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Now, I like the way the Amplified puts this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. For indeed we have had the glad tidings, which is the gospel of God, proclaimed to us just as truly as they, the Israelites of old, did when the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them because it was not mixed with faith. And this is how it says, with the leaning of the entire personality on God and absolute trust and confidence in his power. Absolute trust and confidence in his power. Wisdom and goodness. Absolute trust, confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness by those who heard it. Now, who were those who heard it? It was Joshua and Caleb. They were the ones that brought the report. Amen? Neither were they united in faith with Joshua and Caleb who heard. Who were they? They were the ones who believed. Only the two, remember, of the spies that went out. They were the ones that believed. And so their ability to enter the land depended on them believing God's promise and doing what he said. So if we say that we believe God, how many know that it requires obedience then? The next step, because some people have this idea that rest means I do nothing. No. What it means is you operate from a place of the peace of God, the rest of God. And then you function out of that place in your heart. When you're in rest, amen, then you're thinking straight. You're hearing his voice clearly. When you're in rest, you see clearly. When you're in rest, you can see through things. When you're in rest, you can see beyond what appears. Isn't that right? God opens our eyes. And it's the Spirit of God that bursts this faith in us to believe in the first place. It's all of him. Is not faith a fruit of the Spirit? Faithfulness. You see? God's looking for worshipers. It's always back to that, folks. Worshipers. Amen, Delsa? When we worship in spirit and in truth, it doesn't mean we're not going to have difficulties, struggles, or problems. But what it means is that we can find our rest in that place of refuge in the Lord. That it doesn't matter what happens to us. How could the disciples receive persecution and stripes for the name of Jesus and leave out of there rejoicing? They were counted worthy. They learned how to get into that secret place with God. Remember when they had, was it Peter and John who were locked up in the jailers? Paul and Silas. And they were at midnight hour and they were worshiping and singing hymns to God in a place that was in horrible conditions around them. But they weren't going to allow the external circumstances to dictate their internal condition. And so they began to worship. They praised the Lord. And the jailers and the people, they were taking note. You know they were. Say, how can this be? That's not normal. What's abnormal to the world is normal in the kingdom. Amen to God. And as a result, God brought a great deliverance to them. And the angel had released them out of that place. Now, Hebrews 4 and verse 6 says, since therefore it remains that some must enter into rest. So here it's talking about rest again. And those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Here it was talking about Israel. However, that promise is still available to Israel today, by the way. Because some people with replacement theology say, well, see, Israel blew it, and so it's just on the blessings are on the church. No. Not true. They're leaving some very important scriptures out, amen, of the plan of God. Because here he says in verse 7, he designates a certain day, saying in David, a Jew, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. So here it's clear, do you see it here, that it was not speaking of Canaan as the actual rest that God was alluding to. God was trying to bring them into a place in the spirit, in their hearts. But it says that Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit about them. What was going on? They were connected. And that's why they saw it differently. They were worshipers. Oh. I'm enjoying this, are you? Yeah. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Today, if you hear his voice. Aren't you glad that we're living in the today? Today is the day of salvation. Today you can get saved. Today you can enjoy, amen, the grace, the manifold grace and wisdom of God in your life. Whatever you need, it's freely available in Christ. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. How many know that Jesus entered into rest? How many know that you and I, because Jesus is our forerunner who has already gone before us, as we follow in his footsteps, we also can walk in a place called rest. Therefore, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. In other words, folks, once again, as I stated in the beginning, we've got to learn how to get into that place of rest. You've got to be diligent, amen, in your worship. Diligent in your pursuit of God's glory, of His presence. Because it's not about the things of God, it's about Him. It's not about knowing about God, it's about knowing God. It's not about being around people who experience God. It's you experiencing God for yourself. And then knowing that it doesn't matter what happens to me. It doesn't happen what happens to my body. My God is with me. My God is for me. My God is my strength and my shield, my salvation. My God. He's my strong tower. He's my fortified castle. My deliverer. In the Amplified, it says in verse 11, let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter that rest of God, to know and experience it for ourselves, that no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience into which those in the wilderness fell. You see, it was Israel's denunciation of God's promise that resulted in a whole generation being lost, and they died in the wilderness. They failed to possess the inheritance God intended for them. So how many are seeing here, folks, that diligence is necessary to enter God's rest? In other words, we cannot be slothful in our prayer. We cannot be slothful in our walk. It's not about works, are you hearing me? But it is about abiding in Him. It is about being diligent in worship. He's not telling us to work for it or earn it. He's saying, worship me, come in to my presence with thanksgiving. Amen? And praise. Come before me with singing. Sing and make melody in your heart unto the Lord. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with God, you're filled with His Spirit, you will have freedom. You will have rest in your heart. Jesus was saying, come unto me. You've been stressed out over religion and performance. Come to me, and I'll give you rest for your soul. Hallelujah. And then out of that place of rest, ministry will flow. It's not a precursor to rest. It's not a prerequisite for rest. It is a result of rest. True ministry will result. If we are not worshipers, then we are actors. We are hypocrites indeed. We are practical atheists. We don't really believe God. We're doing it in our own. Independent of God. Do you know you can do all kinds of Christian service independent of God? Miss God completely in it. I don't know how many people I've seen that have been just bummed out and discouraged and miserable serving God. They're not serving God. They're serving some agenda that they think they need to have, or maybe the enemy's put it on them. Or maybe the enemy's just kind of distorted it in their view so that it became about them and not about Jesus anyways. Because we should delight to do the will of the Lord. We should delight to do it unto Him, not unto man. Doesn't anybody see what I do around here? I do most of the work around this church. Thank God we don't have that here. But I've seen it. Maybe you have too. Sometimes we can end up like, you know, Martha. Right? Martha's madness, where Martha was running around and doing all this stuff for Jesus, and Mary was just at His feet, hanging out, soaking. soaking in his presence, receiving, you know, his love. Why? So that she could be equipped by him to minister. You can't give anything that you don't receive. Thank you, Jesus. We're almost through. We just share this with you. We must diligently resist any temptation merely to profess faith in him and then to renounce him in the heat of suffering and persecution. You see how important it is, folks, that we learn how to get in to the secret place, learn how to abide in that place with God, to really know him, to really be a worshiper in spirit and in truth, so that when the evil day comes, folks, sometimes, you know, we can't handle little things that happen in our lives. It causes us to fall apart. But God is trying to condition and strengthen and equip his church, his people, for what he wants us to do in the future, which is to live victorious. When everybody else may be collapsing around us, he wants his people to stand tall and to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So the people will see there's something different about them. They have a God who is able to give them strength when everything else is falling apart. Isn't that true?
Amen.
And so, rejoice in as much as you partake of the sufferings of Christ, of the disciplines of God. Rejoice, even that you may be tested. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you endure all kinds of trials and temptations and difficulties, because it's producing in you something that is eternal and valuable, even in the temporary. Yeah. Why? Because God is lavishing his gift. God is paying attention to you. When we get saved and we're all excited and everything is going my way and, you know, the world is a better place and the Lord says, okay, you know, he's bottle feeds you for a while. And if we're not careful, we'll think it's always going to be that way. But then it comes a time where it's time for you to grow up. It's time for you to eat some solid meat and to be conditioned in your character and your spirit so that you will grow up and be a spiritual adult to be able to reproduce children in the kingdom. Amen? And so when the tests come, often we're like, God, what's going on? Are you mad at me? Do you hate me? Did I do something to offend you? I talked to somebody earlier today, and they kept saying, I've been doing everything right. No. Yes. I've been living right for God. I've been doing everything I know to do. I'm not perfect, but I've been doing everything I know to do right. How come I'm having these problems? Now, we've all been there. We question, we say, is it because I did something wrong? Now, sometimes it is because you didn't respond correctly that you keep having to repeat it, and it goes on for a longer time than it actually should have. But it's still okay as long as you learn, as long as we get the lesson out of it. Are you with me? Because he's very patient. He just say, okay, well, as long as you keep floundering, you know, you keep stressing and striving and complaining and whatever, God's just, he's still there. He's waiting for you just to say, okay, God, I'm done. I give up. Perfect. Now we can do something together. Now you settle down enough. Now you can hear my voice. Let me speak comfortably to you. Let me speak peace to you. Let me just lavish my grace upon you now. Why don't you just come into my rest now? All right. It's like we got our skin knees. Like, it'll be all right. You know, he is our daddy. He really loves us. It's hard when you're going through stuff to think that way because it doesn't make sense to us. But he's trying to teach you to learn to come into his rest. Wow. Well, like I said, I didn't know where this was going to go tonight, but God is amazing, and he's somehow he comes through. Because I know that this has been a word for all of us, including me tonight. Because I have my moments of weakness too. And the Lord reminds me, get into my rest. It's just a sign you're letting yourself go. Sometimes the little things, you know, that trigger us. So the good thing is this, is that it is so awesome that, and you guys know what I'm talking about. It's just like nothing seems to be adding up. Life is just, everything is a mess. Every turn you turn around, something else is coming on. Until you finally get to the place where you just say, okay, I give up. Lord, I'm just going to worship you. I'm just going to praise you. I'm just going to come into your presence and rest in you. And then when you've spent, and sometimes you need to come diligently to do that. You need to be diligent to enter into that rest. There's been times, folks, when it gets a little hot, it gets a little heavy, but God wants to stretch your spiritual muscles. He wants to build you up a little bit more. So what do? You just start praying in the Holy Spirit. You just start worshiping Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We bless you. We praise your name. Hallelujah. I just bless and praise and magnify your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 And little by little, it's like all of a sudden this stuff is just begins to come off. And you get into the, oh, yeah. Now, what was that problem I was having?
Yeah.
Small potatoes all of a sudden. And when you have a bigger problem, it just means you got to go deeper. And you got to worship more. But what's happening is you're being developed.
Right.
And you're entering into his rest. And you're learning how to walk in that place. So now you're in a place where, whoo, the anointing is going to be even richer in your life because you can be trusted now.
Yes.
Because you're trusting him and not yourself. He concludes in chapter 4 with verse 16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. This is what he concludes. He's talking about all this stuff and then he concludes it with this. So then, what do? Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Oh, hallelujah. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Woo! God, we thank you that you're with us and you're for us.